Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. God wishes his people to worship him in spirit and in truth. And this afternoon we may come again into his presence to praise and glorify his name. We welcome any visitors and guests who are joining us to worship our great and glorious God. May you also be enriched by the preaching of his word and join in the praise of him who made you. May the preaching of the gospel this afternoon lead our hearts and minds to reflect on the sacrifice made for us by our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who lived his life as a man of sorrows, so we might know joy forevermore. May he see in us the fruit of all his suffering and pain, so he may be contented with his gain. Consistory has the following announcement. Consistory as elders and deacons will meet, the Lord willing, tomorrow evening in the consistory room at 8 p.m. And this afternoon we may welcome to the pulpit Reverend Eichelboom from the Free Reformed Church of Byford. Before we commence, let us sing together from Psalm 136, verse 1 and 2.
Sisters, will you please rise to receive the greeting of the Lord? While the world is again in turmoil, we lift up our hearts and we confess our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. And he greets us. Grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's worship the Lord and sing his praise with the words of Psalm 46, verse 1 and verse 2.
He will be and not by his power.
Let's now together with the church of all times and all places make profession of our faith in God and in his promises and his faithfulness by singing together hymn 1. Shall we now draw near to God and ask him to bless us as we worship him? Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, before you had ever formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust. And you say, "Return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night." It is so good to begin our prayer this afternoon with these words of confession, Father in heaven, because today is Sunday, the first day of the week, and today, like on every other Sunday, you call us, your people, here in Southern River, to come together to worship you, to celebrate the victory of Easter, when your Son rose from the dead and defeated the power of sin and Satan. Now, every Sunday, we celebrate the victory of your Son. And when we do that, your Spirit works in our hearts, and so we get to share in that resurrection power, so that your Son's victory over sin also makes us strong and victorious in our battle against sin. Father in heaven, you are so good to us. We thank you for the gift of your Son, for his sacrifice to pay for our sins. And we also thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, who works in us so that we love you, and we desire to live as your children. We also praise you for what you give to us every day in our lives as your children. And so we thank you, Father. We thank you that this morning we could be in church together and we could focus on the gospel of salvation from sin, the gospel unto eternal life. And we bring before you the fact that this afternoon everything is again different. The world and our community is again in turmoil, so that we have new restrictions, so that most of us are not in church. Instead, we again have to worship you from the privacy of our own homes, from our own couches, in our own living rooms. And we miss being together, Father. We miss the communion of saints and the opportunity to worship you together. On the other hand, we think about the devastating impact of COVID in many other communities around the world. And then we are reminded that we have it very, very good. And we pray that you will use also this partial lockdown to keep us all safe. Father, we pray, watch over us as we worship you. Receive our thank offerings which we present to you, either by the collection bag or through our online banking. We confess that everything we have belongs to you. And we are thankful that we can use our money in your service for the well-being of your church and for the glory of your name. We pray, bless the preaching of the gospel. Cause us all to grow in our knowledge of you and our love for you and our service of you. We pray for those parents and those older siblings of little children who are still too young to sit still and sit through a sermon. Father, in such circumstances, we are easily distracted. And so we pray for a measure of strength, that we may all concentrate on the gospel, that we may focus on the good news, that we may be strengthened through the preaching. Lord, you are almighty, and faith is a gift from you. Watch over us all. Provide for us all. Hear us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. This afternoon, we focus on Lord's Day 28 of our catechism. And Lord's Day 28 is about the sacrament of the Holy Supper. In connection with this part of our confession, we read first from Isaiah 53, the prophecy of the Lord's suffering. In Isaiah 53, the prophet describes how the Lord will suffer to pay for our sins. Hear the word of the Lord. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although He had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many, and makes intercession for the transgressors. We go to the New Testament, to Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We read the second half of the chapter, 1 Corinthians 11, we start at verse 17. The apostle writes, "But in the following instructions I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you, in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So that, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come." So far the reading of God's holy word. Let's now sing together hymn 26. afternoon I preach to you the Word of God as we confess it in Lord's Day 28 of our Catechism. Lord's Day 28 on page 542, under the heading of the Lord's Supper. How doth the Lord's Supper signify and seal to you that you share in Christ's one sacrifice on the cross and in all his gifts? In this way, Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup in remembrance of him. With this command he gave these promises. First, as surely as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup given to me, so surely was his body offered for me and his blood poured out for me on the cross. Second, as surely as I receive from the hand of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and the cup of the Lord as sure signs of Christ's body and blood, so surely does he himself nourish and refresh my soul to eternal life with his crucified body and shed blood. What does it mean to eat the crucified body of Christ and to drink his shed blood? First, to accept with a believing heart all the suffering and the death of Christ, and so receive forgiveness of sins and life eternal. Second, to be united more and more to his sacred body through the Holy Spirit, who lives both in Christ and in us. Therefore, although Christ is in heaven and we are on earth, yet we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bones, and we forever live and are governed by one Spirit, as the members of our body are by one soul. Whereas Christ promised that he will nourish and refresh believers with his body and blood as surely as they eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup, in the institution of the Lord's Supper, and then follows the passage that we read together from 1 Corinthians 11, and then over the page, this promise is repeated by Paul where he says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we, who are many, are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. We now listen to the preaching of the gospel, and afterwards we sing in response Psalm 111, verse 3 and verse 5. Psalm 111, verses 3 and 5. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, we all know sounds that are not real words, like shalakazam, abracadabra, and hocus pocus. These words are not real words, and they don't have any real meaning. Instead, they are words that we find in fairy tales about witches and magicians. In one story, a witch might wave a wand and say abracadabra and turn a prince into a frog. In another story, a magician says shalakazam and turns a pumpkin into a coach. These are pretend words, supposed to be magic words made up to make fairy tales seem a little bit more real. But did you know, brothers and sisters, that the word hocus pocus supposedly comes from the Bible? In the Roman Catholic Church, before the Reformation, when they celebrated the Holy Supper, what they called the Mass, then the priest would take some bread and he would say in Latin, he would say, Hoc est meum corpus, which means, this is my body. And when the priest said these words, hoc est meum corpus, according to the Roman Catholic Church, the piece of bread was magically transformed into the body of Christ. According to the Roman Catholic Church, even today, one moment you have a piece of bread, but the next moment, when the priest says, hoc est meum corpus, the bread turns into flesh, and you get the body of Jesus Christ. Over the centuries, these Latin words, hoc est meum corpus, have become hocus pocus. And hocus pocus has become just another magic word, so that the Roman Catholic version of the Lord's Supper has become just another fairy story. Wizards and witches use hocus pocus to change frogs into princes, and Roman Catholic priests use hocus pocus to change bread into the body of Jesus Christ. It all seems to be on the same level. Now, of course, beloved congregation, of course, we don't believe in any of this hocus pocus. Instead, when the Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Holy Supper, when he took that bread, and when he broke it, and when he said, this is my body, after that, the bread was still bread. And in the same way, when we celebrate the Holy Supper here in our church in Southern River, when a minister takes the bread, when he says, this is the body of Jesus Christ, afterwards, that bread is still bread. The minister does not do anything magic. The minister does not change bread into the body of Jesus Christ. Instead, the minister, he holds up the bread, he breaks the bread, and then he proclaims the promise of the gospel. The promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, that his body was broken on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. And this promise of the gospel, like every other promise of the gospel, must be accepted in faith. It must be believed. I preach to you this afternoon the gospel of your salvation under the following theme. The Lord of heaven and earth gives life to his church family at his table. And he does this, so he commands us eat and drink. He commands us remember. And he commands us believe. The Lord of heaven and earth gives life to his church family at his table. We see first that he commands us to eat and drink. Now in the first part of answer 75, we confess that Christ commanded me and all believers to eat of the broken bread and drink of the cup. Brothers and sisters, Christ commanded me. Christ commanded all believers to celebrate the Holy Supper. And we need to emphasize this, because the form that we read every time we celebrate the Holy Supper, the form seems to say something a little bit different. The form speaks about needing to feel certain testimony in our hearts. The form says, if we do not feel this testimony in our hearts, we should not celebrate the Holy Supper. The form for the celebration of the Holy Supper speaks about self-examination. And then many Christians have the idea that when we examine ourselves, we have to find out if we ought to celebrate the Holy Supper, yes or no. The Catechism, on the other hand, the Catechism says, no, Christ commands us to celebrate the Holy Supper. So what do? If we think about it, what the Catechism says, the fact that Christ commands us to celebrate the Holy Supper, this fact is a real blessing, brothers and sisters. For imagine that God would leave it up to me and up to you to decide every time again if we should or if we should not celebrate the Holy Supper. Imagine if God would say to you, it depends on what you feel in your heart. Then, 1 week, when your faith was not very strong, if you had struggles in your faith, then you would be inclined to say, this time, perhaps, I should not celebrate the Holy Supper. And then the result would be, when my faith is the weakest, when I most desperately need this heavenly food and drink for the strengthening of my faith, then I would not get it. That would be like eating when my stomach is well filled, but starving myself when I am hungry. That would be absurd and terribly wrong. Jesus did not say, eat and drink when you feel good about your faith. Jesus did not say, eat and drink when you feel that your life is on track. And Jesus did not say either, eat and drink just when you feel that you need it. Instead, again, what the Catechism says, Jesus commands me and all believers to eat and drink in remembrance of him. That means every time we celebrate the Holy Supper, we should all be there. We should all celebrate together. Indeed, beloved congregation, every time we celebrate the Holy Supper, we should all celebrate together. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I am not saying that going to Lord's Supper is more important than listening to a sermon. I am not saying that we need to be in church when we have Lord's Supper any more than we should be in church on another regular Sunday. Instead, I mean, whenever we celebrate the Holy Supper, every confessing member should participate. And if you disagree, if you think that it would be a good sign if some church members would choose to stay away on occasions because they are so well aware of their sins, brothers and sisters, look around you now. Look around you and ask yourself, who should go and who should not go? Can you point to any person in the church and say he or she should not celebrate the Holy Supper? Surely that cannot be, because this is the church of Jesus Christ. This is the body that he has bought with his own precious blood. This is a gathering of Christian people, and we are united by faith in Jesus Christ. We are all washed with his blood, sanctified and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Everyone who belongs in the church belongs at the Holy Supper table as well. And of course, this also means, on the other hand, if anyone is living a life that is unholy and ungodly, so that he or she cannot attend the Lord's Supper, then there is no place for such a person in the church either. And then we need to exercise discipline. Belonging to the church and belonging at the Holy Supper table, that goes together. And if you are convinced that someone should not attend a Holy Supper because of something in their life, then you should speak to him or to her, and you should begin to exercise church discipline. So then, what about self-examination? Surely the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 instructs us to examine ourselves. Paul says, examine yourselves before you partake of the Holy Supper. And in that context, Paul warns, he says, whoever eats or drinks of the Holy Supper in an unworthy manner is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Clearly, we should all examine ourselves before we go to the Lord's table, brothers and sisters. But we should notice, Paul does not say, examine yourself to see if you should eat, yes or no. Paul does not say, examine yourself, and if you discover this, don't go. But if you come to that conclusion, you may attend. Instead, examine yourself and consider how you eat. Because the way how the Corinthians were celebrating the Holy Supper, that was the problem. They all came together. But while they celebrated, some remained hungry, while others got drunk. Some finished their meal before others started. Paul says, you may not celebrate the Lord's Supper in this way. That is not the right way. That is not really the Lord's Supper. So, said the Apostle, examine yourselves. Consider how you eat. Remember that you are eating and drinking the body and the blood of the Lord. And so, do it right. Nowhere does Paul hint that some Christians or some people should stop celebrating the Holy Supper. Nowhere does Paul suggest that some people might examine themselves and come to the conclusion that they don't belong. Not at all. Instead, Paul says, consider what you are doing. Consider that you were eating and drinking the body and the blood of the Son of God, the Lord. And so, do it right. And does this mean that we should all go to the Holy Supper every time we get the chance? Does this mean that we should never seriously ask ourselves the question, should I or should I not celebrate? Should we all simply take it for granted that we must go because we are members of the church? The answer to these questions is absolutely yes, brothers and sisters. And I do not say this to make us more casual or more comfortable about attending the Lord's table. Instead, I want to do the opposite. I want to encourage us all to take our relationship with God very, very seriously. Because imagine with me for a moment. Imagine that I am living in sin. And then when the time comes for us to celebrate the Holy Supper again, imagine that I examine myself. Imagine that I come to the conclusion that a particular sin in my life makes it impossible for me to celebrate the Holy Supper. Then I have two options. I can stay away from the Lord's table. And then, of course, that gives me freedom to continue in my life of sin. I can abstain from the table of the Lord, and then I am free to continue in my life of sin. Or otherwise, I can decide that I must repent of my sin. And then the table is open for me again. And then going to the Lord's table. In fact, even the decision to go to the Lord's table that will help me to refocus my heart, to rearrange my life, to get back on track. And so it is good if before we go to the Lord's table, we examine ourselves. It is good that we see our sins and that we confess our sins and that we repent of them. And then we celebrate the Holy Supper. That's the only way to obey Christ's command. He commanded us to eat and drink in remembrance of him. And then finally, there is one more reason why we must all celebrate the Holy Supper every time. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, the apostle says, whenever you eat and drink, you proclaim the Lord's death. That means we do not just celebrate the Holy Supper because we need it for the strengthening of our faith. And neither do we celebrate just because we want to have fellowship with our brothers and sisters in the church. Instead, celebrating the Holy Supper is a good work. It's a good work that we do for the glory of God. Because, says Paul, when we come to the table, when we eat and we drink, then we proclaim. We make a public declaration that we find life in Jesus Christ and we receive life from Jesus Christ. When we celebrate the Holy Supper, we proclaim that when he died, his body was broken and his blood was poured out. And now, when we eat of his body and drink of his blood, we proclaim that his broken body and poured out blood are food and drink for our hungry and thirsty souls. And so on Sunday, we eat and we drink. And on Monday morning, we go out into the world, into our workplace, strengthened and energized by eating and drinking that spiritual food. And so, if we refuse to celebrate the Holy Supper, then we say no to the Lord. We say no to his gift of food and drink. He wants to give that to us, to strengthen us for our Christian duty. So, if we refuse to be nourished by him, in fact, we deny him. Truly, the Lord Jesus Christ commanded us to celebrate the Holy Supper. He also commanded that we do it in remembrance of him. And we consider that remembering in our second point. If we would ask our children to describe what happens at the Holy Supper, our children would probably tell us something like this. Our children would say, the adults, they walk to the front of the church. They sit down at the table without a word or a smile for anyone. Most of them eat and drink and their faces are serious all the time. And then afterwards, they go back to their seats with that same solemn expression on their faces. Our children would tell us that attending the Lord's Supper seems to be a very serious business. Now, please understand, my point is not that we should liven up the celebration of the Holy Supper. No, the Lord Jesus Christ commanded us to celebrate it in remembrance of him. That means when the bread is broken and when the wine is poured out, we should think about Jesus. We should think about what he did for us, how he came into the world to pay for our sins, and how he bore the wrath of God and died in our place. When we celebrate the Holy Supper, no, that word celebrate, when we celebrate the Holy Supper, we should remember especially the death of the Lord. We should remember the death of the Lord. But we should also remember the death of the Lord. And that's a different story. 1 Corinthians 11 explains what the Lord did when he instituted the Holy Supper, and what the Lord said about how to celebrate the Holy Supper. It is truly the supper of our Lord, the Lord who commands us to celebrate the Holy Supper. He is no longer the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. He is no longer the stricken and afflicted Lamb of God. No, instead, he is now our host at the Holy Supper table. He is the living God, the Lord Almighty, our Good Shepherd, who is seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven, and whose name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When we celebrate the Holy Supper, it is the Mighty One, the Lord himself, who stretches out his hands towards us, his children, and who feeds us with bread and wine. The Lord commands us to remember who he is and what he has done every time when we celebrate the Holy Supper. At this point, we should explore further, brothers and sisters. The Lord, he has done so much for his people through the ages. Remember how he saved Noah and his family in the flood? Remember how he brought the Israelites out of Egypt and gave them the land of Canaan? Remember how he saved them through the judges and through the kings? In all of this, the Lord has revealed his saving power. And the Lord has revealed his immense love for his people. Also, when the Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven in the form of a man, the angels sang their songs of glory to God in the highest. Then wise men and shepherds came to worship him. And later the Lord Jesus healed the sick, the blind and the lame, and even raised the dead. And when Jesus was on that mountain, remember, when Jesus was transfigured with Moses and Elijah, that was a glorious display of majesty which must be remembered. But brothers and sisters, think about this. The Lord Jesus, he says, I want you to remember me. But then the Lord Jesus does not say, remember all those impressive things. Jesus does not say, remember my miracles, remember my power. Instead, the Lord of heaven and earth, he instituted the Holy Supper so that he might focus our hearts and our minds on his suffering and his death. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to remember when we celebrate the Holy Supper. He says, my children, my friends, this is who I am. This is who I want to be for you. This is the way I want you to remember me always and forever. Because this is the moment of my greatest love. The Lord says, when you celebrate the Holy Supper, take out this picture of me sacrificing my body, giving my blood for you. This is the picture I want you to remember. Never forget what I am doing for you tonight. Seal it in your mind for all time. Carry this picture before your eyes every day and bring it to remembrance often. Beloved congregation, a man who loves a woman, he marries her and then he gives his wife a photo of the most meaningful day of their life, the day of their marriage. And he says, hang it on the wall. Let's celebrate it often. In the same way, the Lord gave to his church, his bride, a picture of himself on that night when he gave his life for us. The Lord says, keep this picture as a constant reminder of how much I love you. So again and again, when the church in Southern River comes together, the Lord Jesus Christ commands you to take out this picture. He wants us to hold this picture up in front of our faces so that we see it again and remember it again. So he says to you, my beloved people, remember what I have done for you. Remember that my body was broken and my blood was poured out for your sins. And believe that I still love you just as much as I did on that night when this picture was taken. That means when you have struggles or worries about your work or about your family or about your future, take out this picture and remember and believe that I will always be there to help you. The Lord says, my dear children, I understand that sometimes you forget me. Sometimes you despair in your struggles. So, I give you this picture. When you struggle, look at this picture of me giving myself for you and trust that I will continue to give you everything that you need if only you ask for it with a believing heart. Oh, beloved congregation, what a God we have. How good, how merciful, how gracious, how patient with our weaknesses and shortcomings. When we sinned against God, when we brought upon ourselves the punishment of death, God loved us so much that he sent into the world his Son, so that he might go to the cross for us, so that he might experience for us the bitterness of death and hell. That was true love, that God was willing to die for you and for me. But in the Holy Supper, we see that God's love goes way beyond that. Because even today, he does not say to us, my children, I have done everything for you, now get with the program. Instead he says, I know you. I know your struggles. And every couple of months, I want you to take out this picture. I want you to remember that day when I sacrificed myself for you. Remember, this picture, it shows who I am. So the Lord commands us to eat and drink and remember. In our third point, we will now consider as well his command to believe. When we celebrate the Holy Supper, we eat, we drink, We remember that almost 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ was also sitting at a table with his disciples, just like we do. And while we sit there at the table, we concentrate on believing that Jesus died for us. We concentrate on believing that his body was broken and his blood was poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. At least, when we celebrate the Holy Supper, that's what we should be thinking about. But brothers and sisters, believing is difficult. We can tell ourselves, yes, it's true. But to believe in such a way that we trust God when things are going wrong in our lives, to believe that everything is going to be okay when someone we love is sick, to believe in such a way is difficult. We believe in theory that Jesus died for our sins, but to really entrust our lives to him completely, that's really, really difficult. And this is why, beloved congregation, when we celebrate the Holy Supper, we may not stay with our thoughts in this upper room where the Holy Supper was instituted. Instead, when we celebrate the Holy Supper, we must remember that we are dealing with the Lord's Supper, and he is the host at our table. It is he who gives us this food and drink. He gives it to us, and so we may also trust him to ensure that eating the bread will strengthen our faith, and drinking the wine will restore our lives. It is the Lord, the Almighty God, who is the host at the celebration of the Holy Supper. And every time, he will work through the bread and the wine. He will turn the Holy Supper into a high energy meal for us all. He puts his divine power into the bread, so that it strengthens our faith. He puts his divine energy into the wine, so that it cleanses us from all our sins. And this is the ultimate gospel of the Lord's Supper, beloved congregation. That bread, it has no power in itself, even after it has been blessed. The wine has no energy, even when it is poured out. God says, "My children, eat, drink, remember, and believe." And then, what makes the Lord's Supper special? What makes the Lord's Supper special? Our host, the Son of God, who loves us so much that he died in our place, who loves us so much that he now comes into our church service. He stands at the table and he says, "You are my children, and I want to feed you with my body and my blood. So eat and drink and do that. Then I will give you faith. I command you to believe, but I will fulfill that command in you. I will give my spirit to you. And so I will give you the faith that you need. I will give you the faith that you need so that you do trust me, you do believe in me, and you will serve me in this coming week." This is the promise of the gospel. God works in us what he commands. God keeps all his promises. He will strengthen our faith if only we come to the table, if only we eat and drink in remembrance of him. Amen. Sisters, we'll thank the Lord and we'll pray together. There's a couple of points that I would like to bring before God in our congregational prayer. Brother Yitzhak the Hope was taken by ambulance to hospital this morning after a nasty fall. So he's in hospital for further testing and monitoring. Brother John Mahoney will go to hospital on Friday for a medical procedure. And also the band of John Calvin Christian College will go on tour to Kalgoorlie tomorrow, God willing. We'll bring these matters before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of eternal life, which we receive through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you also for the command to celebrate the Holy Supper. Father in heaven, we confess that we often look at ourselves. We look at our hearts and we look at our lives and we are disappointed because we see so much that is not what it ought to be. We don't see the fruits of faith that we would like to see. The love for you, the commitment to serving you, and the desire to serve for the well-being of our neighbours. Father in heaven, there is so much in our hearts and in our lives which is not as it ought to be. And so we thank you, Father, for your goodness and your care, where you command us to celebrate the Holy Supper and to do that in remembrance of your Son, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross, who sacrificed himself to pay for our sins. We confess, Father, that his death on the cross is our only hope. It is indeed the only ground for our salvation. We pray, Father, that you will be with us all in the week that lies before us. We pray for our brother Yitzhak Hope, who was taken to hospital this morning after a fall. Father, we pray that you care for our elderly brother, that you provide him with everything that he needs. We pray that you bless the work of doctors. We also pray for our brother John Mahoney. Lord, will you watch over him too when he goes to hospital this week for a medical procedure? Again, we confess that the work of doctors is very important and it can produce wonderful results. But Lord, we depend on you. And so we pray for your blessing, for your grace. We also pray for the band of John Calvin Christian College, planning to go on tour this week to Kalgoorlie. And Father, we know that our young people have been looking forward to this. But in what happened today, we are reminded that everything that we plan is subject to what you will, what your plan is. And so we pray that you give your blessing over the band, that you make it possible for them to indeed travel, and that you give them a good week. At the same time, we pray that also our young people may acknowledge that your will is always higher than our will. And if your plan is different, we must learn to live with that. Father, bless us all in this coming week, in our homes, alone or with our families. Bless us also in our work, at school or on the roads. Bless those who are elderly, those who are lonely, those who have struggles in their lives. Give comfort and strength, and grant that we as communion of saints may support and strengthen each other. Bless the work of our elders and our deacons. Bless meetings. Also bless visits. Bless also the work of our minister, Reverend Poppy. Give him what he needs for teaching catechism, for visiting, and for preparing sermons. Lord, so cause us all to grow as congregation. Give to us all a good measure of your Spirit so that we may stand strong in our faith, so that we may all be encouraged to trust you in all things, at all times. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the collection now is for the South African needy churches. After the collections have been taken, we will sing Psalm 115, verse 6 and verse 7, and we'll do that standing. brothers and sisters, receive the blessing of your Lord and Saviour and go in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.